All right, first I want to thank the Chiefs organization for helping deal with the events of the past few days. The Hunt family, Scott Pioli, the football support staff, all the people here at the complex, they were helpful and very supportive, and that was a good thing. I cannot thank my coaches and my players enough in helping me and each other get through the past few days. I think playing the game helped. I think it really did. It took our minds off our sorrow and put the focus on the field for a couple hours. And the outcome of the game, I think that helped us even more. The game itself, it was a total team victory. Everybody played a part in it. All phases were able to contribute to the win. We had no turnovers, only one penalty. We scored some points. Had a running game that was good. The passing game helped us in the field position battle. Defensively, we made some key stops in the fourth quarter to help win the game. Siler stepped in and played a solid game, even though he'd been only playing special teams most of the year. And that's commendable on his part. We had some young players who hadn't had very much playing time, had to go in and produce, and they held their own, and they helped us win the game as well. Now our focus needs to be and has to be on facing an improving Cleveland Brown team on the road. And so that's what our focus is going to be. We know that we have to deal with the events of the last few days, and it's not over, and it might not be over for some of us for most of our lives. But time heals all wounds, and so we're going to start working on the time thing and trying to focus on our next task, which is the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. So with that, I'll open it up.
Appreciated the fact that they won a football game yesterday, given all that was going on around here?
Yes, because we are football players and we coach the game and we appreciate every victory. And I think they appreciated the fact that we were able to win the game. They understand the significance of the other events that happened because you were talking about lives that were involved. But I think that they appreciated the fact that we were able to pull together, band together, and win a football game and play a football game.
The reason I ask is Brady Quinn almost seemed tortured after the game. I mean, he really seemed, he said something like, hey, it's hard to feel like you can win in a situation like this.
Like I mentioned, everybody handles stress and grief differently. And that was one of the things that I talked about to the team about trying to mentally get ourselves ready to play a game. And everybody handles it differently. But, and Brady always talks from his heart and kind of tells you, what he thinks. And he's right. It's hard to prepare and play under the circumstances that we had to play under. But like I say, my hats are off to those guys for being able to pull it together and to go out and basically play for each other and help win the game.
What's your mental state right now?
Your post-game comments, you didn't seem to think there was anything extraordinary about the way the effort you guys put in, given everything else that's going on around here.
No, it wasn't, because these are good kids on this team, and they come to work every day. They have good attitudes, and they work hard on the practice field. We haven't produced enough on the game field, but they still come to work every day, and they work hard.
Well, in order to be able to move on, you sort of have to reconcile Javon as a teammate and as a player versus the horrific acts. How do you plan on doing that?
Well, I think that we will do it like any other family would do, all right? Javon is a member of the family. What he did, we didn't like. We're not crazy about. But he's still a member of our family, and when you go out in society and things like this happen in society, because they do happen in society, you don't see people throwing the family members out the door. They are still loved by their family members, but the act, you don't like the act. And so you move on, you deal with it, and you don't have a choice. You have to move on.
Coach, did you know any? Did Javon Belcher ever express to you any troubles that he was having in his personal life?
No major troubles in his life. Everybody has some issues in their personal life. I mean, all of us here have issues in our personal life, and everybody handles issues differently. And from dealing with Javon, he seemed like a strong-willed individual to me. He's a leader. He was sitting in the front of the classroom. He's the first to the drills, you know, and all of those things. And so, you know, you're surprised by the events of the last few days.
What was it like today when you came back to work, considering, you know, what happened in the parking lot? I mean, you have to come in that door, and today's the first day of many to come that you're going to have to walk past what happened. What was that like for you?
Well, it was like coming to work like you normally do, you know. Now, you think about the events as you walk through the door and walk through the parking lot, but you know that the events are over and you can't undo them. They've been done. You cannot undo them. So the only thing that you can do is work for the future and toward the future.
How long have you been?
What's your mental state right now?
I've got a good mental state. I know my daughters and my wife, they tell me that I must be crazy, that something should be wrong with me. But I can deal with stress. I can deal with grief. And so I'm dealing with it by trying to be the leader that those young men upstairs that they need. And they're young men, and they're young, and so they need a good leader at this time, and I'm being that for them.
Are you getting a chance to vent how you feel to anybody about everything?
Other than my daughters and my wife, you know, I don't know that I need to vent. I've seen a lot of life, you know, and you see things in life, you see things happen, and life still goes on, and you have to deal with it. And now, I'm not saying that everybody deals with it the same way, but it has to be dealt with, and you do the best you can.
Romeo, were there past experiences in your life that you drew on to help you get through this personally?
Well, basically, probably my father, because he's a military guy, no major issues like happened the last couple of days, but, you know, the way he handles himself and the discipline that he had to have as a career Army guy, you know, he brought that home, and we had to be part of it. And so I think that helped me deal with some of it. And then my mother was a very patient person as well, and so I took some of her patience to help deal with life in general.
In the back right there. Go ahead.
Roman, Clark said yesterday that outside counselors have been brought in. Have those services been utilized, and how much would you encourage you or your coaches and your players to utilize those services?
Well, right, yes. We have counselors on site, and they'll be here most of the week. They were at the hotel Saturday night. The players were told that they're available, and if they want to talk to them and use them, they can. We also have a chaplain who is on site, and I think he's been very helpful. I know the linebackers, they had a session today. The coaches will probably have a session tomorrow, you know, and so it's available and it's being used.
Romeo, what's been your stance on players owning guns, and has this incident changed your opinion on that at all?
Well, I haven't really had a stance on players owning guns because the law is what the law is. And the thing that I'm always concerned about is there are certain states who have different laws as far as gun ownership is concerned. And when we get guys, you have to educate them about the laws in your state. And generally what we had attempted to do was tell them to, hey, know the law, turn your gun in to our security people, let us hold on to it, and then after that, if you need it, then you can take it home, you can go put it in your safe or whatever you need to do with it. But the law allows people to have guns.
What did you mean by that, turning it into security people?
Well, you're talking about young people who come to you, and sometimes they don't know the law, they just have a gun, you know. And believe it or not, some of them drive it up in their cars, you know, and they might drive it to a state that they don't know what the laws are in that state, or the states that they have to travel through with the gun in the car. And so what we try to do is try to educate them and inform them and say, look, let us take care of this gun for you, because you can't have it on NFL property. You, at any NFL event, you can't have one. So let's not be tempted by it.
But you said, in your presser after the game yesterday, when asked how you were able, you and the team were able to overcome this, you mentioned faith, family, football, and each other. You mentioned your mom and your dad. Can you just kind of stress, for those who are wanting to know, an example of the other three avenues, the faith, the football, and each other?
Well, I think I'm assuming, and I don't know this, but I think everybody has a faith, and they're different faiths, you know, and everybody's level of faith is different. So I can't tell a guy that, boom, this is the way or that's the way. I think each individual has to have their own faith and have to lean on what they believe in, all right? And so that can help them get through. They're teammates, because you're with them every day. All right, you lean on your teammates. You talk to them. You help them. You help each other, and you do that. And then, I mean, we all have families, and they're probably the most important people in our lives. So you lean on your family. You get counsel from them. You can tell them your problems and seek solutions. And I think that's probably the combination is the best way to go about it.
Do you think Javon Belcher was a young man who was kind of overwhelmed by the pressure of his job, high-profile job, being a new father at a young age? Do you think that this is ultimately what made him snap?
Well, now you're trying to make me a psychologist, and I'm not a psychologist. I don't know what made him snap. I was surprised, you know, so I can't answer that question.
Coach, have you talked to Jamal? Charles?
Yes, I talked to Jamal every day.
Did you talk to him after this incident?
Yes, I did.
And anything, how's he doing? How's he doing?
Well, Jamal, he is, he has a double whammy is what Jamal has. He lost two people in this incident. And he's taking it kind of hard, you know. And I think yesterday was good for him so that he could take his mind off of it a little bit. And so it's a tough situation, but I think Jamal will be able to work through it, and we will help him get through it.
Coach, yes, sir. Go
ahead. Yeah, you said yesterday, I believe the words, you couldn't reach the young man, Javon. What were you, when you went out there to talk to him, what were you trying to say? What were you trying to, what did you say? What were you,
I was trying, I was trying to get him to understand that life is not over. He still has a chance, and let's get this worked out.
Is there ever a point where, in a situation like that, I don't think anybody in this room has been in that situation that you were in. Was there ever a point since then that you've asked yourself, maybe I should have said this, or do you question what you said?
No, I don't question what I said at all.
Lindsay, go ahead.
Oh, Brady Quinn's comments last night have kind of been widely distributed. Maybe you have seen them. What do you think of the leadership that he displayed and also the way that he played? Yesterday?
Well, as a quarterback, you're a natural leader. And so he always has had leadership qualities and leadership ability, and he played a good game yesterday. And so that was helpful to the team, and that was a good thing that he did that. You know, so I don't know what his comments were, but he's been a leader.
Couple more, yep. Right here in the back.
When you said he told Jamal, you know, I was trying to get him to understand life isn't over, you know, we can get this out.
It was Javon.
Javon, I'm sorry. What had he told you about what had transpired before he got to the stadium?
He hadn't told me anything about that. I didn't know what had happened. All I know was is a player with a gun, and I know that's not a good thing.
You've never seen him in those conditions?
What conditions?
I mean, he must have been.
I've never seen him with a gun. Never, ever. Okay?
Do you know if Javon had ever suffered a concussion or a head injury?
I don't know that he had.
Now, you also said, you know, players, a lot of people have personal issues. Do you know what Javon's personal issues were?
No, I don't.
Romeo, how has this changed the way you view life?
It has not changed the way I view life, other than I know that nothing is promised to us in this life. And so you need to live your life the best way that you can each day, because tomorrow is not promised. And so if you'll do that, then you should feel good about yourself.
But change your priorities at all?
No, my priorities have been stable and consistent all along.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, football. We got beat up just a little bit. We got some guys with some muscle injuries, some hams and quads. Derrick Johnson is nursing one. Flowers is nursing one. Elam is nursing one. It's a DJ Elam Flowers. Okay, I think Bailey is an ankle. You know, he should be okay. And then we'll have to see on the muscles next couple of days what they look like and see what they can do at practice.
I'll be your left one back in. He's okay?
Yeah, he's all right.